HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Aren't you tired of seeing the devastating impact of plastic pollution on our planet? The oceans are teeming with plastic waste, and microplastics are finding their way into our food chain, posing a global crisis that threatens not only our environment, but also our health. But what if I told you there's a startup that's taking a revolutionary approach to the problem? And it's not just any solution. It's a game changer that's turning the tide against plastic pollution. Do you want to find out more? Welcome to A Circular Revolution, presented by Indian Youth Climate Network, a podcast that explores the innovative world of circular economy startups. This podcast is supported by European Union Resource Efficiency Initiative and UNICEF India. I'm your host, Ankita Bhava, in candid conversations with inspiring founders who are changing the game and making our future more sustainable. So, buckle up and get ready to join the loop as we dive deep into the world of circular economy. In this episode, we are thrilled to introduce you to Plastic School, a circular economy startup that's turning plastic waste into a valuable resource. By broadening the scope of plastic recycling and creating awareness about plastic pollution worldwide, Plastic School is leading the change toward a more sustainable future. Joining us today is the brilliant president of Plastic School, Kanika Ahuja. Kanika's innovative approach to plastic school management has garnered attention from around the world, and she is here to share her journey and vision for a better future. Hi, Kanika. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ankita. Thank you so much for this wonderful introduction. I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Kanika. I mean, you have been on quite a journey with Plastic School, and I'm sure you have an amazing story to tell. But to start off, can you tell us a bit about how you first got this idea and what sparked your passion for circular economy practices in general?
So I think recycling and upcycling and just generally the problem of waste, that has been quite close to me since like I was 10 or 11. I think the first time I faced this problem was as a family and like friends and relatives, all of us had gone together to volunteer for the Yamuna Cleanup Action Plan. I think I was about 10 years old. This was organized by the Delhi government. And we all were together on the banks of the Yamuna River in Delhi, picking up trash from the river with like sticks and like wearing gloves. And that's the first time I realized how waste was a problem and how we didn't really have a infrastructure in place to solve this issue. And while things have gotten better now, are quite stuck in that scenario about we don't know how to dispose waste properly. We have started producing more and more waste as we've started spending more and more as a country. So that's why I think I was just very attracted to this problem. And recycling, upcycling, plastic waste especially, these just provided me a platform to work on this issue, which has been close to me.
It's truly impressive that you began contemplating such a significant issue at such a young age, Kanika. I mean, you are clearly someone who is a thought leader in the circular economy space. And speaking of which, I also remember that you attended the Agents of Change workshop themed Circular Economy by the Indian Youth Climate Network. So as someone who is already making a change with Plastic School, what were your biggest takeaways from the workshop?
Sure. So I think the India Youth Climate Network and these series of workshops that they're organizing, I think it's an incredible effort to educate the youth, re-energize the youth, motivate them in the kind of opportunities that circular economy presents today. I think my key takeaways from the workshop were the amount of innovation that is happening in the field, the motivation of Gen Z to come into the field to work for the environment. I mean, when you see that motivation in the youth, you know, we also get energized to do better because, you know, it is like we have to make this an intergenerational movement. And with every generation, this movement just has to grow stronger. So that is why I think from the workshop, I mean, the content was excellent, of course, but, you know, it was also the energy of the event that was most attractive to me.
For sure, absolutely. So I think now, without any further ado, let's come to Plasti School. I mean, plastic pollution is a problem that affects us all, and you realized it very young, right? And it's great to see organizations like Plasti School taking action to combat it. So can you talk about the ways in which your work is helping to address this issue at large, and what kind of progress you have made so far? We cannot wait to hear your story, Kanika.
So I think, I'll start with an introduction of Plasti School. So Plasti School is an international consortium. We have social innovators from 7 different countries who have joined together and who bring their own different plastic to value technologies to this consortium. Because as social enterprises, we all work, you know, in our different geographies, with our different technologies, with our different target audiences, beneficiaries. But, you know, this is like we're all working in silos. So that's why we decided that, you know, we have a partner from Uganda whose technology, you know, we know is very, very useful for people in India. So, you know, through Plasti School, we can do these tech transfers. We can also create micro factories that can encapsulate all of these technologies or some of them, depending on the needs of the local territory where this micro factory is going to be deployed. So depending, we assess, when we go to a location, we assess what is the kind of waste that is coming in the area, what is the kind of different plastics that are available, then what is the infrastructure support that is available. Accordingly, we design a micro factory, and then we also design prototypes of products that can be sold locally. So this is basically a model with a territorialized approach for a localized economy and a community ownership model. So keeping all of these things in mind, we see Plasti School as a, you know, systems change approach, which can it's going to shake up the whole system of how the waste infrastructure that we follow today in India and most countries. So we don't want this, you know, that the kabadiwalas are going house to house, then they get it to one dalau, they take it to a bigger dalau. Like, you know, there's no need of all this logistics. If there are micro factories that can just process like each community's waste at the site, then and make products, make useful products of like whatever they need, anything from like chappals, footwear, lampshades, home decor, fashion accessories, handbags, wall tiles, wallpaper, anything, like, you know, so many things can be made out of it. So like whatever is the need, we can start making those kind of products in the micro factory. So this is how we see the waste supply chain changing in the future.
So how do you ensure that the products you produce have a low environmental footprint and they are directly connected to the needs of the local community?
We have 2 micro factories at the moment. One is in Uganda, which was our first pilot. Over there, the project is focused on the youth, and it also runs a schools program to get more and more students and youth involved in the project, to create more awareness about plastic pollution, as well as to create more awareness about the opportunities to work in plastic waste. So over there, they are making products that are more school oriented. So from chairs, tables, furniture to like toys, like plastic toys, or stationery products like scales, small alphabet letters from primary schools. And then in the Delhi unit, we work more with waste workers, with the informal sector. And for them, of course, furniture is one important thing. But we also have like normal grocery bags or chappals. So, you know, which the local community also needs. And of course, our marketing efforts to, you know, keep the project self-sufficient. We also have some high value addition products that we make, like handbags, laptop sleeves, wallets. But that's the essence of Plasti School, that, you know, you can use these technologies in so many ways to make so many products that any market can be your market.
Kanika, your vision for Plasti School is truly inspiring, and the impact that you have made so far, it's remarkable. Also, I am so intrigued by the micro factory model that Plasti School uses to turn plastic waste into raw material. How does it work? Please walk me through it.
Sure. So when we, for example, we have shortlisted a locality where we want to set up a Plasti School micro factory. First, we do a baseline study to understand that what is the kind of waste that is coming in the area. And then we try and understand what are the demands of the locality. Like, you know, do we have electricity? Like, because some of these machines also work on three-phase power. So, you know, if that exists or that doesn't exist, do we have access to clean plastic waste? Because the cleaning is another issue in the supply chain that has to be dealt with with significant attention. Mm. And then we understand the market constraints. That what are the needs of the locality, who are these people who are in that locality, what is their background, what kind of products would they need, and then we start customizing the micro factory. So the machines, like, you know, we have separate machines for LDP, which is regular polythene bags, or like, you know, the packaging sheet plastics, the transparent wala jo aata hai. Or there is MLP, which is the chips wrappers, biscuit wrappers. Then there is HDP, which is the harder plastics, just say bottle ke caps, old chairs, toys. So then once we have our research ready, then we start customizing the micro factory. Then these, so this customization of the micro factory, like Plastic School, is headquartered in France. So the design part, the French team takes care of. And then this is designed into a building, like, for example, the India project we have. As part of a building, like a normal land and building, but like the Uganda project, since there was no building in place, that's been made in a shippable container. So then, you know, you get the container and you get all of these machines fitted into it. It's a collapsible container that can open up into a, you know, proper factory unit. So there are various models, like in our next project, we're trying to build it, build this micro factory on a truck, on a moving truck, so that it can go from like village to village, and you know, that can be more of a educative solution on plastic recycling.
Can I just ask, what was the strength of your team when you started and what is it now?
So when we started, it was just me and my mom.
Oh.
But I mean, the Plastic School Consortium, all the founders who are active board members now, we're 7 board members on the Plastic School board. And in India, we are currently, I'm the president and we're leading a Plastic School from India. And in our office, we have about 11 people with us.
Oh my God. Only one word, Kanika. Impressed. I am truly impressed by the dedication and commitment you and your team have shown in building this multi-benefit ecosystem of your own. So in your experience with Plastic School, what have been some of the most significant hurdles you have faced in expanding the impact of your work?
So I think this field in itself is filled with many hurdles and challenges. So every day we have new challenges that we have to deal with. But I think that's also part of what keeps it exciting and what keeps all of us so involved that the day just flies by. So I think to name a few would be that waste. I mean, I'll talk specifically to India. That waste in itself is, you know, we have ambiguous laws on who has ownership to waste. So once you throw something outside, it is public property. So like many years ago, when we had started our upcycling project, it was, you know, like people told us that you're working with the illegal community, the waste workers who are, you know, informal workers on illegal land, because these landfills are, and, you know, these dhalau sites, like most of them were illegal. And we're working with illegal property and with the illegal process. And because, you know, the technology that we created by ourselves to recycle single-use polythene into vegan leather, we got a patent on the process, but it's not a registered recycling process. But other than that, like, you know, both on the supply side, demand side, there are also challenges, because the waste workers that we work with, you know, like they are informal workers, and you know, if something happens, like the COVID happened, the whole slum shifted, everybody went back to the village, and okay, like, you know, COVID caused a global crisis in supply chains, but even before that, like we have been working in recycling since many years, and when the Commonwealth Games happened in Delhi, then the slums were shifted out of Delhi without any notice, without any jobs, and so, you know, we shifted our projects with the slums. But like, you know, these kind of challenges keep coming up where the workers just leave And I mean, they have their own pressures. I'm not blaming them at all. Like, I would say they are the victims in this whole situation. But and then on the demand side, of course, like, you know, we are seeing this transition of like how everybody is becoming more aware about sustainability, about demanding like, you know, transparency, demanding conscious products. Mm. But I mean, I think the movement has started. So like, it's really heartening to see that. But I also think that there is a long way to go.
But I must say how beautifully you have been able to navigate those challenges and continue to expand the impact. Speaking of impact, Kanika, it seems like Plastic School's approach is well aligned with the development of circular, local and bottom-up economies. Can you tell us more about the role you see Plastic School playing in this area and how it can complement globalized top-down approaches?
So we're still figuring out about how, like I mentioned, Plastic School is about disrupting the supply chain. But it is taking us some time to understand what would be the best way to create that disruption. Because, of course, you know, we want to do it in a systematic, legal, compliant manner. And so, like, while there has been active support from, you know, everybody that we have spoken to, funding bodies, government bodies, municipal bodies, there is still confusion about, you know, between all of these stakeholders about what would be the best approach to implement it. So we are looking to like pilot Plastic School in a more systematic manner in tier 2, tier 3 cities first. And because as a micro factory anyway, like, you know, we can't handle so much waste like a city like Delhi or Bombay produces. So that's why we want to pilot with, like, you know, smaller cities, towns, villages, to show, like, you know, impact studies of like a smaller local project, because, you know, this is made for localized manufacturing, this whole system. So that is why that is the approach that we would be taking going forward. But yes, on the theoretical side, like, you know, we've done, we've had a wonderful team from SAP, the software company, visiting us. We had consultants from, international consultants who helped us develop the financial model, the viability model. So theoretically, like, we have everything in place, but we're just trying to understand what would be the best location to implement it on a larger scale.
Wow, it's truly inspiring to hear about all the positive impacts that Plastic School has had on waste workers and artisans, as well as environment, of course. So what kind of training and support does Plastic School provide?
Yes, I mean, that is a very, very important point about Plastic School is our skill development and micro enterprise creation programs. And with this, we have been targeting communities, because we want Plastic School micro factories to be community owned enterprises, and we want these to be for profit enterprises. But we understand that reaching financial sustainability takes time and takes skills that at the moment, like, you know, these communities do not have. So that is why we start with setting up a project, and we start with selecting a group of people, understanding what their motivations and aspirations are of joining this project. And then we start working with them on training them in production processes, of course, but also in business processes like sales, quality checking, procurement of materials, marketing, social media, online sales. I mean, these are spread out over time, and within the group, we start deciding, like, you know, over time with the interviews, with how their performance has been. We start electing who would be the group leader, who would become the marketing head, who would be the accounting person. And then those specific people are further trained in like those expertise functions. But eventually, like, we do want then this group to own that enterprise and become self-reliant, become independent. And so that is how, like, Plastic School, of course, you know, we teach about plastics, but we also teach about micro enterprises. And this is a long process. Like, you know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it takes time, you know, frankly speaking. We hope that all of them would be a success, but, like, I don't think that's a reasonable ask at this point. But But for that, we also have like I have a company called Lifafa, and Lifafa provides design and marketing support to groups like these who have been trained in circular opportunities. And we have been exporting for over 10 years. So we have marketing linkages in place to support these groups till they become self-reliant.
Plastic School is more than a school, definitely. And it's the school the country needs right now. Thank you so much, Kanika, for sharing about your experience and the work you have done with Plastic School. So for aspiring entrepreneurs who are interested in entering the circular economy space right now, what advice would you give them?
I would say that go for it, because it's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that, but it's also really, really fulfilling. It is what our country needs. It is what the world needs. Circular economy, environmental sustainability, social inclusiveness. These are things that we need today to build a better world.
So looking ahead, what are your plans for the future of Plastic School, and how do you see it evolving in the years to come?
So, I mean, in the long-term plan, I would like Plastic School micro factories to be everywhere, everybody to be sorting out their own waste, creating value out of it. You know, the problem of waste should not exist anymore. But I also see like all of these micro factories connected through like a meta network where, you know, we can have knowledge sharing, that, you know, if a village in France is doing something, a village in Kashmir should know, have that information, have those prototypes, should be able to build that. And that is how we can accelerate innovation and, you know, accelerate design, and that can like change communities and cities.
I hope it happens, and I know it'll happen. Thank you, Kanika, for sharing your story. It's amazing to see the positive impact you and the entire team of Plastic School, for that matter, are making on the environment and local communities. Kanika, before you go, could you please share with our listeners how they can learn more about Plastic School or purchase your products or become part of your community? We would love to connect our audience with your mission and help spread the word.
Thanks, Ankita, and we're happy to work with anybody who's interested in the plastic space about learning more about recycling. We're always open to volunteers, like, you know, if you want to design for us, like help us with our social media. We're still a very small team, so any kind of help is great. You can connect with us on our Instagram, on Plastic School, or through LinkedIn, or just email me directly at kanikaahuja27@gmail.com. Happy to help you, happy to give you some advice if you're looking to start your own social enterprises. So we're a community that needs to come together.
Do reach out to Kanika, guys. And remember, it's all about joining the loop for a better future for all of us. Thanks for listening. And remember to tune in next time for another fascinating conversation with a new sustainability innovator. For more updates on a circular revolution, you can follow HT Smartcast and Indian Youth Climate Network on Instagram and LinkedIn. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HD Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.